of all the different kelim and details of the construction of the Mishkan, which are outlined in Parshios Vayakal and Pekudei, as Bezalel and the other artisans lead the actual construction of the Mishkan. We read in Perek Lamed Chet, Pasuk Ches, V'yas es ha-kior nechoshes v'es kano nechoshes, that he made the kior, which we could translate as the basin of copper, and its stand or the pedestal also of copper. What was the what were these things made out of? Bimaros hatsovos, with the mirrors of the women, Asher tzavu Pesach Ohel Moed, who had gathered at the Ohel Moed, at the tent of meeting. And the question is, what exactly is going on here? It seems like a somewhat curious construction of a pasuk, and there's something seemingly alluded to in this interesting description of the fact that the copper here was specifically donated based on the mirrors of the women. And in fact, in the classical Mefarshim, we seem to have at least three different approaches, two of which are similar in one sense, and the third being, in a certain sense, fundamentally different. On the one hand, let's start with the Ibn Ezra and the Sforno. They explain that basically there was something inherently problematic about these mirrors. After all, mirrors are all for vanity and beauty, and making yourself up and looking pretty, and that is basically implicitly understood as something superficial and not something that would be consistent with the higher angels of our nature, not something that would be somewhat spiritual. And yet, these are considered nevertheless suitable for the Mishkan because the owners, the women who donated them, by donating them, show that they are rejecting their usual usage of these mirrors. In the words of the Sforno, V'otan ha-nashim ma'asu inyanei tachshitehen. By donating these mirrors, the women are showing that they are rejecting the life of the physical and of beauty and of vanity, and instead they are prioritizing religious virtue and spirituality. Higdishu ma'arotehen lahoros she'enan srichos odlam. We don't need these anymore. We don't care about physical vanity and beauty, rather we care about religious virtue and spirituality. Amazingly, the Ibn Ezra, when he describes this, he says something that would be perhaps somewhat shocking to many of us and perhaps needs a separate discussion. He says that, in fact, the tradition that we see here highlighted of the Jewish approach to modesty is very similar to that of the Arabs. Kiminag Yisrael haya kiminag Yishmael ad hayom. It says it's even current in the Ibn Ezra's own day. He said, in fact, we are our Jewish women are not focused on physical beauty, etc., as we see in the story. V'nasnu ma'aroseyan nedava, ki ein lehem tzorach od lehit yapot. They don't care about physical beauty or the superficial. They only care about the inner, spiritual, private beauty. Rak ba'os yom yom el petach al moed lispalel ulishmoa divrei hametzos. And they gathered instead not to look at themselves in the mirror, but rather to daven every day in the presence of the Mishkan. So the Ibn Ezra, and implicitly the Sforno as well, understand that the reference at the end of the Pasuk about the women gathering is after they've given up their mirrors, they've rejected the life of physical beauty, now they just come to the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak, the Mishkan, to daven. That's one approach. The Chizkuni, perhaps echoing a similar approach broadly to the role of beauty as something that could potentially be an enticement of sin, but nevertheless has a different approach to what's actually happening in the actual psukim. Says the Chizkuni that this basin, the kior, was placed in between the sanctuary and the mizbeach. And the reason is, and it was even placed on an angle, so that the area where women in the Mishkan would regularly gather, they would be able to see it. Now, why was it important for women to be able to see this particular kli in the Mishkan? Because it was from this big basin, the kior, that the water that would be used in the need for a sota ritual, this is where the water would come from, which would be mixed in a special way to test the sota woman to see if she had been faithful to her husband or not. And therefore, says the Chizkuni, these kelim were placed in such a way that they would be constantly a reminder to Jewish women who would come to the Beis HaMikdash, who would come to the Mishkan, and they would see them in such a way that it would be a reminder to them and a way of preventing them, hopefully, from ever going down this perilous road. He says they were placed where they were, Kadesh Tirena Oso, Hanashim Hatsovot, Vyu Nizkar Lehem, Shemishem Mashkim et Hatsotot. And therefore, by constantly seeing this whenever they would go to the Mishkan, this would remind them of what could happen, God forbid, if they strayed from the general posture of modesty. So he focuses on a different element, not that the women would gather to just daven or gather to donate, rather they would gather specifically so they could see this area of the Mishkan, and that would remind them to hopefully live a life of religious purity and not even get into a situation questionable, which would require a sota ritual. Last but not least, and taking a completely, I think, different and very uplifting approach, is that of Rashi, who's really commenting based on an incredible medrash in the Tanhuma. And the medrash describes, as Rashi writes at great length, how the women came and brought these mirrors. And the mirrors, yes, were used for beauty, but beauty is in a way that was celebrated and elevated and sanctified. As the medrash describes, that Paro, part of his plan against the Jewish people was to prevent not only killing the Jewish baby boys, but prevent any new babies from being born. He prohibited the men from being, when they were slaves, he prevented them from being with their husbands. However, the men had really given up, as we know. So the women would come with their mirrors, they would make themselves all beautiful, and they would bring the mirrors, and having made themselves up, they'd go out to the field where their husbands were enslaved, and they would entice talk with their husbands until their husbands were in the mood. And eventually, the husbands and the wives would be intimate, and this is what led to the perpetuation of the Jewish people. And the women now said, we want to give this positive thing which kept the Jewish people alive, we want to donate it. Moshe says the Medrash was initially against it. He thought it was perhaps inappropriate. But Hashem says, no, these are the most precious things to me. I love them because this is what kept the Jewish people alive. And in fact, this is what eventually was donated. And in fact, says Rashi, the Sota ritual is not something negative. On the contrary, the Sota ritual is to hopefully keep marriages together. Marriages in which suspicion has entered can now be healed by the healing waters of the Sota, which can show the woman's innocence. And so too, once again, marriages can be preserved with these kelim.